The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
You okay over there?
It's a little Groundhog Day, doesn't it?
You've been making some interesting... You made a sound this morning that sounded like a bear. During our pre-show meeting.
Well, I have a buddy from St. Louis who are good friends with me and Ange that stay with us, and he calls me the elephant. Because I wake him up in the morning. I don't know I'm making sounds.
Sure.
Like, I knew I made that sound.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize I'm as loud as I am.
I could see that.
Blow the nose in the shower at 5 a.m.
Wait. So you're just farmer blowing in your shower?
Yeah.
You don't do that?
I don't think I have. I mean, it makes sense because who cares where it ends up, right? You're in the shower. You just wash it off.
Yeah, unless you got a hanger.
Yeah, that's a little
sticks
tough.
To the wall. And then you got to grow your nails out and do a little scraping. But it feels kind of Groundhog Day. I
know.
Was that intro
that was
from
bad.
Yesterday?
That was yesterday. I swear I did a new intro and I just didn't save it. I can see the waveform. I just didn't save it. It's fine. Whatever. It was sad. Leave me alone.
Yeah, Ashton sad over the Team USA 1-1 tie yesterday. We'll have Ashy's World Cup date coming up later in the show.
He was so excited yesterday when he did the World Cup update. I'm going to think he's going to be a little... downtrodden today.
I'll
help you through it.
I don't want to give too much of a tease, but I might even get angry for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
I don't know if I wanted them to lose.
I found it...
Which is weird. Because women's soccer is so much better than men's. So much. It's not even close.
Like, in general or Team USA? Because yes. To both, probably.
It's just
Team USA men.
The flopping is so nauseating, and yesterday was ridiculous. You know.
Do we know how many people watched that game yesterday? Those numbers out yet?
I can find out.
Are they gonna come? They'll probably come out later today.
I mean, there's flopping in football. Don't get me wrong.
Oh sure.
You know, when the defense is tired of something, they're always telling a guy to go down with a cramp.
True. Yeah. Flopping is something that. I think everybody is sick of across all sports. I mean, think about how much we complained about the Celtics flopping against the Bucks in the playoffs last year. The NFL is harder to flop. It's more obvious when guys flop. It's usually like post whistle. Somebody's trying to draw a 15-yard flag on someone. You know, you're kind of doing the little arm fighting thing, pushing back and forth, and one guy will just flop to the ground. But that doesn't happen all that often.
No.
Like flopping in soccer is a part of the culture. It's a part of the sport. If you watch an entire men's soccer game without anybody flopping, did you actually watch a soccer game?
Well, the dude that went out for Wales thought they were going to have to amputate his leg right on the pitch. And then he's back in the game 2 minutes later.
I swear his foot came off. The way he screamed, his foot was gone.
I know.
Didn't exist anymore. Hanging by a thread.
That doesn't bother you?
Of course it does, but I was too emotional. Who cares?
How do they fix that?
You don't.
Okay.
It's been like 300 years of just pain and sorrow. So
like,
were you
more upset with them tying Wales yesterday or the Packers losing to the Titans?
Oh, tying Wales, for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the Packers.
I thought he was
a toad. But yeah. I'm also a fair weather.
Yeah,
so
but
like,
he's also a fair weather toad, and he's been screaming from the mountaintops that the team sucks for a long time.
I've been right the whole time, just saying. Team sucks.
I don't think you went to the hoop that hard early in the season, but you've definitely
he's turned the corner.
Ride that train.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
And maybe this is just a me thing, but sitting in on Scalzo and Brust yesterday, Brust has been one of the people, I think, he calls Matt LaFleur a mouse. Like, he has been going hard to the hoop against Matt LaFleur. And I guess I've been, we kind of assessed a little bit of blame yesterday, and I'm wondering if I should give more blame to what has happened this year to Matt LaFleur. We asked a question yesterday, Chew, that I want to ask you, because I'm interested in your take.
But hold on with Brust a minute, okay?
Okay.
Because you got to pump the brakes on him because he's from Chicago. What's he supposed to do?
Oh, sure. No, I get it.
So he gets very little street cred.
Oh, 100%. But I'm just at a point, again, where, you know, he brought up some interesting points about LaFleur, and it just made me, you know, my own personal pie chart of blame for the Packers, it made me wonder if I should assess more to him. Because, again, if I'm going to complain about assistant coaches, Joe Barry, Stenovich, Butkus, you know, the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, Vrabel. Like, if we're going to complain about, hey, coaching-wise, they're not teaching these things, yes, part of that's on the assistants, but guess who hired the assistants? You know, whose decision was that? So ultimately, that does funnel back to Matt LaFleur. And we asked a question on Scalzo and Brust yesterday that I want to ask you. Is Matt LaFleur a better coach now than he was 3 years ago?
I don't know if he was ever a good coach. I don't know. I mean, when you have the MVP with a little more talent at the receiver position, it makes life a little easier. And
in fairness,
you have to look at the relationship between Rodgers and Cobb. Because if Rodgers wasn't in Green Bay and say he's done, Cobb's done. The only reason he functions in Green Bay is because of the relationship he has with Aaron.
Probably.
And it's kind of, I kind of had the same thing with Brett. I could read his mind. I knew where he was going. He knew exactly to the spot to throw it to. And you kind of see that with Randall Cobb because he still threads the needle. I don't know. The more I think about it, this next transition that might happen next year, might happen the year after, where he's got to start with a new quarterback. And I said this at the beginning of the year. We're going to see what kind of coach Matt LaFleur is.
Yeah.
Because the half of the security blanket was gone. I don't have a lot of confidence.
And that's part of the problem, right? Like, in terms of having that confidence. Now, I will give LaFleur credit for this, because Rodgers was the MVP of the last 2 years. And even though they won 13 games in LaFleur's first year, Rodgers didn't have this lights-out season. In fact, it was at that point where Brian Gutekunst decided that he needed to maybe look for the future, which is why he drafted Jordan Love after the first year of the LaFleur-Rodgers marriage. And look, LaFleur was able to bring out that greatness once again in Aaron Rodgers, because his last year and a half, and one of those, that half year was marred by injury, but that last year under Mike McCarthy, it wasn't very good. It was a lot of kind of what we've seen this year out of Aaron Rodgers. So he was able to bring that out of Rodgers, and I think he deserves some credit for that.
No, he does.
The way that Mike McCarthy deserved for kind of reviving Brett the last 2 years that Brett was in Green Bay. But at the same time, you got to be able to find a way to keep that going, because you have to have that marriage last more than just 3 seasons.
But there's more to being a head coach than just calling plays.
Yep.
And that's why guys like Ray Rhodes don't work out. All these coaches that are great coordinators don't become great head coaches, because, A, I don't see him as a disciplinarian. He kind of lets guys do what they want. You know, there are a lot of other intangibles that go into being a head coach. And, I mean, the cat's out of the bag, right? As far as letting Rodgers have all this power, and it trickles down to Bakhtiari and certain players. Well, if he can do that, then I can do 80% of what he does. I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle, you know?
But I don't know if he's... I don't know if he is a disciplinarian, is the problem. Maybe it's not the problem, but I don't think... Maybe the Rodgers thing points it out more, but if you're not a disciplinarian to begin with, like, I don't think you can just suddenly change that.
No.
Because guys are going to... You have to be who you are genuinely. Like, I think you can do a little bit more fire and brimstone and be a little more phony on the college level. You just have to look, you know, a little further north, see some of the phonies that are in college football as head coaches.
Dylan? Is that where you were going?
I was not
you
going...
You set up north!
Okay, a little That's west.
Your first north. Thought was your own son?
I thought he was taking a shot.
Coach,
I was going to pile on.
Just, there you go.
He was hoping I was taking a shot.
Coach.
I was taking a shot at PJ Fleck.
Oh, okay.
Wisconsin, Minnesota this weekend. But like, everything I hear about everybody else around PJ Fleck is the guy's a phony, right? And I think you can get away with that with college, because there's just constant turnover, even now more than ever. in the NFL, and plus, you know, they're kids. They don't know any better. Like, think about how dumb you were when you were 19 years old. And think about how dumb you are now. You know, it's...
Yeah.
I like that I mounted that back here, but you said it because we both knew someone had to say it.
No, the good coach is pivot. The good coach is pivot. Oh, yeah. Like, Andy Reid is a different coach today than he was when he was first at Philadelphia.
100%.
Because the kids change.
Yes.
And they're not even kids. They're 28-year-old men.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying. Like, at that point, they're men. You can't be something you're not.
Players will constantly look for loopholes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Constantly look for loopholes. And if you give them loopholes, they're going to look for the next loophole. You know? That's why Holmgren would always say, all the time, A, you got to handle adversity. Because bad things are going to happen in a season.
Oops.
And then B, it'll come to me. I forgot. What was B? Attention to detail. I tell Dylan, that is the most...
that being B, it's the greatest thing to ever happen in the history of the world.
What's so funny?
You forgot it.
That I don't have attention to detail, but... No. But preach it?
The fact that you forgot it was attention to detail.
Attention to detail. Yes. And that's part of the problem with the coaching staff, because they're going on to the next thing when the thing that they're trying to correct isn't corrected. And that's why they stink.
Attention to detail.
I don't have attention to detail. I used to have attention to detail.
You just need attention, period.
That's... At times. NFL boy comes out. I think he was out in Florida. I don't remember.
Were you being a little pampered, little...
What did I do? Maybe it was on the show.
Did she have her spies report back what happened with the vehicle?
What happened to the vehicle?
You had something taken out of the vehicle?
Oh, she did. That was it. Ooh, that was not good.
You got in trouble. I heard some of you getting in trouble.
Yeah.
There were many people when we talked about that last week, and if you happen to miss it, you can listen to the entire conversation, Wisconsin On Demand. But it is insane that all four of us have our own different complaints about the parking garage here. Like, four separate incidents.
And we've been here 2 months.
Four separate incidents, yes. For all four of us. We just hate this parking garage.
Ashton's is the worst, though.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, it's not even close.
I had another incident almost this morning.
What?
Really wasn't an actual incident, so I probably shouldn't have prefaced it that way, but it's too late now. I've already started talking, which is bad for everybody involved. Somebody was parked over the line and double parked, and I was upset.
Oh, that happens all the time.
That happens.
Specifically in this garage, that happens all the time.
How hard is it?
Nobody knows how to, but it depends. If you are in this parking garage, and there are spots that are like... Because usually when you do diagonal parking, it's usually like a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
There are spots that are like almost not diagonal and closer to just like straight parking. It's just like a weird angle, and it's a narrow spot, so people just don't really care.
But Ashley, you seem to me the guy that just got a new car that would park far away and walk so his car wouldn't get dinged or anything like that.
I mean, I do that for the most part anyways. Also, it's not that I'm impatient. I am super impatient. But when it comes to parking, I just find a spot and park. I don't care if I'm walking.
You don't care about... So if someone comes and dings your...
I'd be bummed, but, like, you know, stuff happens.
It's better than the kid. I mean, Ashton's just happy when he shows up and his car is where he parked it.
You know who's got the best parking spots? Hands down, not even close.
I'm interested in this.
Costco gives you so... It's like a spot and a half.
Well, yeah, because there's entire like houses of families that have those minivans and Astrovans.
No, I know, but they want you to be able to get the cart to the side door so you don't have to load from the back. They're wonderful. It's just a wonderful store.
Shout out to Costco.
Who has the best parking spots? 800-990-3776. I don't know what you want me to do with that. Well, ask Jason. I bet Jason drives a lot. I bet he's got some great insights on who has the best parking spots. He also has great insight to the Green Bay Packers. We discuss with him coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, go! Hunt. All Packers, all the time.
The Packers offense is not dicing anyone up, whether it's the Saints or it's their own Packers defense.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde, and he joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, although he's only joining us twice this week. Short week. We don't have shows Thursday, Friday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Jason, before we get into the Packers stuff, and because you never know what you're going to get when you join Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, where do you think the best parking spots are? Because Chewy was just singing the praises of Costco and how wide their parking spaces are, and he feels like he's got enough room to be able to park.
Yeah, you're right. I never know what I'm going
to get. Is there a Costco in Green Bay, Jason?
There is, yeah, off of 172. By the way, am I talking? I'm normally on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, really? Gabe was wrong.
Twice?
Yeah, I said you were only on, did I say twice? I mean, yeah, you're only on once this week.
Do you want to come on tomorrow, Jason?
I'd be happy to come on tomorrow if you'd like to have me.
What a nice guy.
I serve at the pleasure of Chewy. As far as parking spots, Costco's a good one. I have to admit, we have a new Hy-Vee store in Green Bay. It's apparently the largest store they have. It took over an old Shopko at Bay Park Square. And my family, loving people that they are, knowing that I love this kind of stuff, has gone without me multiple times. So I still have not set foot in there. But I hope they have good parking because it appears to be the biggest deal in Green Bay since Super Bowl 45. Like, bigger than the soccer match this summer.
Really?
Bigger than playoff. Like, the parking lot is full no matter what hour I seem to drive by. So the good people of the greater Green Bay Metroplex are so excited about the new Hy-Vee that there are people there all the time. Now, I would be curious, being the Gaston of a man that you are, do you want to get a close parking spot, or because you're so physically fit at age 60, do you prefer to park farther away so you can walk and get a little extra, you know, heart pumping maneuvering?
What, I don't like the dings on the cars.
Right.
Right. So I will walk. I will park farther away so I don't get the door dings, which I've gotten a ton before, and sacrifice. But the thing about Costco, Jason, is you buy so much at Costco and you got to load up the car. You can actually, there's enough room where you can wheel the cart in between cars and still unload into your back seat. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, this is a point of contention with Paula on multiple levels. One, whether we're driving my old 2007 SUV or her beautiful Infiniti SUV from Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile, I always park far away.
Yeah.
She wants to get, she's just, I think it's her competitive spirit. She thinks she wins the closer she parks. And I'm like,
I feel that. I feel that, right? I mean, that hit me,
right?
Jason. I feel seen. I'm with Paula.
There you go. Yep. She's got a lot of redeeming qualities, much like you do. This one's dumb, though, because you get door dings if you park too close.
I'm with Jason. Jason, where is Ashton just brought up some website in tickets for the Detroit game, last game of the year?
Wasn't me, and I have no idea what you're talking
selling,
about.
Well, I'll make it up. Are selling for $46.
The average get in price for the Lions game right now, Jason, is $46.
So, Jason, my question is, where do you think the team is now? Not the fans. Are they, it's over, let's look what we have towards the future, let's finish strong? Where do you think they're at?
It's hard because I haven't been in the locker room to talk to anybody since after the game on Thursday. And they don't have any access today either because the players are off. They came in yesterday, but they didn't make them available, which, not going to lie, irritates me to no end. So I don't have a great feel. The locker room after the game was depressed resignation, it felt like to me. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I think back to the 99 team, for example. Some dispiriting losses. You were out with an injury, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, a neck injury. If I remember correctly, you know, you guys lost to Holmgren. There were some disappointing losses. It was an up and down year. And yet, after all the times that you guys had stunk, we went into the January 2nd, 2000 regular season finale against Arizona with you guys still having a chance to make the playoffs. You were 7-8. If you won and like three other games had to go your way, and one was like even like point differential related, and everything happened that you needed it to, except for I think Carolina needed to lose and they won or something. And so you were in a position where you really could still make the playoffs, even though the season was so disappointing. And I think that there is a feeling in the locker room that the last five games, as bad as these guys have been, are against other teams that aren't that great. And so I think Rodgers and others feel like there's the possibility of winning out in the last five. And whether that gets you to 9-8 or 10-7, if you somehow win in Philly, I don't think they've given up the ghost just yet, but I'll have a better feel when I talk to some people tomorrow.
Jason, yesterday when I was filling in on Scalzo and Brust, I asked you about Matt LaFleur. And if you want to hear the great answer that Jason gave, you can download it, wisconsinondemand.com. And I asked you if he was a better coach now than he was 3 years ago. But today I want to ask about the players. Who right now on the 53 is playing better than what you thought they would be heading into the season?
Well, first of all, now I'm going to have to listen to that on Wisconsin On Demand because I didn't realize it was that good of an answer.
you and Chewy and your attention to detail.
Yeah, exactly. I would say that is part of the problem, right? Like, is there anyone who, like Eric Stokes, for example? Now, Tausch and I had a disagreement about him at the end of last year. Tausch thought he was playing really well. I thought that he was playing against some inferior talent and that he wasn't that good, that he was still a rookie and still inconsistent. And I thought I wanted to see what he did this season. And I don't think he took a jump at all. In fact, I think he regressed. And so before his injury, and now I think he had surgery, so I think he's done for the year. So he's an example of a guy that not only did not improve, but in my opinion, actually regressed. Like in the offensive line, I think John Runyon has taken a step. In watching him, but I'm not a connoisseur of offensive line play. But like Robert Tonyan, like they were excited to get him back. Certainly losing him to that ACL was a factor last year in a big way for them, not as much as their offensive line missing Bakhtiari and Jenkins, but they definitely missed him. Well, is it fair to say that he hasn't taken a step when he's recovering from an ACL? And it looks like to me like he is nowhere near the guy that he was in 2020. Like he just doesn't look explosive. He doesn't have the run after the catch that he had before. Like to me, this is part of the problem is that they just don't have anyone who has had a breakout year or taken off the way you were hoping they would, right? Like Devondre Campbell. Before his injury, I don't think he had replicated what he had done last year. Rasul Douglas definitely hasn't replicated what he did last year. So not only do they have guys that haven't taken another step forward, but they have a lot of guys that have either stayed about the same and not really improved much, or have actually taken a step back.
How bad is the cap next year, Jason, is when it comes to adding players? Because they obviously have some trouble with Aaron Jones at $20 million and Bakhtiari. I mean, can they – I mean, is this offense going to look a lot different next year with the possibility of Jones being gone, the possibility of Bakhtiari being gone, the possibility of Cobb saying, I've had enough.
Possibility of Jenkins being gone. The possibility that literally none of their tight ends other than Josiah DeGuara are back.
Has the rebuild started and we don't want to admit it?
No, I don't think so. They do have some really big decisions, right? Like, I think in Jones's case, they tailored that contract in a way that basically said, we're not convinced you're worth 4 years, $48 million. So it was really a two-year, $20 million deal, right? And then they converted roster bonus money to push money out into the future. So that's why he's got the big cap number next year. You know, I think speaking of guys, going back to your point, Gabe, based on last year compared to this year, I think he's elevated his game. I really do. I think he's been really, really good. And I think if they thought they were going to get him for 2 years and then move on from him, and that A.J. Dillon would be ready to take over, I don't think that they're at that point. Do you?
Oh, God, I don't think A.J. Dillon's a feature back at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I think there's another guy who I think has regressed. And so, you know, what do you do with Jones? Do you really want to cut him and let him walk out the door, or do you extend him and push money out in the future and kick the can down the street farther, trying to keep this team together? Bakhtiari has, when he's been on the field, has been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I went into the second half of the season thinking, well, they're going to cut him. And now I have to ask myself, do they have to figure out a way to reposition his contract, because he can still play? And if he's a year removed from the ACL and all the other issues he had after it, is he going to be back to being himself? Because I thought, this guy's never going to be himself again. They're going to cut him after this year, make him a post-June 1 cut so they could spread out the cost and start over with Yosh Nijman, a left tackle. Now, I'm not sure they're going to do that. So I don't think that it is as Armageddon-ish as it feels like. At the same time, they're going to have to get creative again. And I don't know if they can create enough workable cap space to then bring in players who have experience and who are going to cost some money on the open market to help them. And to Gabe's point, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Jenkins. Because I think he has had a disappointing season, but it is related to the ACL. I think he's still a really good player.
Yeah, a lot of things to figure out for the Packers. So is Jason going to join us again tomorrow? Is that what we decided?
Jason, I'll have your people call my people.
Yeah, I don't know. If I could get like a gift card to the Rot Tots.
Deal. Done. Done.
I might come.
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Thanks, Jason. Joins us. He joins us three times a week. This week is going to be two times a week. I'm glad I misspoke. I'm glad I said, I meant to say he was only going to join us once this week.
He's
going to
yell at me about this now, probably.
Of course. What would I have done?
What he offered?
I got a doctor's appointment.
He has no one to blame but himself, Ashton, because he said that I messed up, which I did. But then he kind of offered that maybe he would join us tomorrow.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's just being nice.
He's just a nice guy.
That's what I call a total Ashton move.
Hey, if you offer to give us your insight to the Green Bay Packers more often, like, what do you want me to do right now? Not take that when they're 4-7 and we're trying to get answers as to why they're this bad? No, I've got more questions for Jason right now, so I can definitely ask those questions tomorrow. Maybe you have questions about your banking. Well, Fifth Third Bank's got a lot of those answers. From expansion to reducing the risk of fraud, Fifth Third Bank knows your business requires custom solutions to meet the moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Milwaukee has industry experts who understand your challenges and the tools to make your business more efficient. Whether you're a company of one or a large-scale operation, Fifth Third Bank connects you with a network of seasoned, industry-focused professionals who understand your challenges and have the tools to help power your business forward. Fifth Third Bank has that personal touch that they want to give to you and help you grow that business. Fifth Third Bank, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
As soon as I tap you, that's what silent count is. You kind of goose his ass. And
you what?
You goose his ass. That's silent count. When you feel the goose, then you go to the gander.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Rocking it on a huge day, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And just to be clear, because this happened last week or 2 weeks ago, Huey Lewis is not dead.
Not dead.
We're not doing this to honor his memory. We're doing this because he's, well, underrated.
You know who I killed yesterday? I did kill somebody yesterday, not on the air. I killed Pele yesterday. My bad. Thought he was dead. Talking about World Cup, Pele, not dead. 82.
Are you a soccer fraud?
No, I just, you know, he's old. No one's talked about Pele in a while. I
mean, yeah, but he's like the greatest soccer player of all time.
Allegedly.
What do you mean allegedly?
I've never saw him play.
Did you get him confused with Diego? I got his autograph.
Who?
Pele?
Yeah.
Sell that. You know, do you know how rare?
He has no idea where it is.
No, I do. I saw it the other day because we're starting to clean out the lower level. That would probably bring a little ching.
A little coin.
Yeah, Chewy, I don't know if you know this. He has not signed an autograph in almost 50 years. That's a super rare thing you have.
It is?
Yes, you should sell that immediately.
Did you? I don't need to sell it. I'd give it to it.
Can I have it?
Can I have the Rot's Hot truck for a weekend?
Yes, deal.
Ooh.
We're shutting it down. What does it matter? I'll take all the equipment out.
Oh, I thought you were asking for free... Ash Bash 2.
No, I want to drive it around.
You want to drive it around.
Go for it.
Yeah,
go for it.
I thought he was actually negotiating.
That thing gets up to 80.
We'll see what we can do. Why? What do you think that thing's worth?
Let me check the
internet. A nice framed picture, Pele, signed. What's the thing that comes along with it so it's not fake? Authenticity?
Certificate of Authenticity. COA. Like, did you just see? So Tiger Woods, there was somebody here in the Milwaukee area. Who had, when Tiger made his first career ace here in Milwaukee at the GMO when he was playing at Brown Deer back in 1996, Tiger made an ace on the 14th hole in the final round. He took that ball and threw it to a guy in the crowd who also knew the tournament director who then helped him get the ball signed. He's had it in his basement, decided to sell it, and it recently just went for $186,000.
Never mind, you can keep it. It's not that much money.
What, Pele or Tiger's
ball? It's like $1,100.
$1,100?
What do you mean?
And you don't want it?
You're just poo pooing $1,100.
I didn't realize that Aston was flush with cash. Was doing that well.
Yeah, right?
I will take it. I'm just saying. In my head, I imagined it being so much more money than $1,100. You know,
I might have to renegotiate. I thought it was like $400. $11. That's pretty solid.
How about Aston just poo pooing $1,100?
I'm not just poo pooing $1,100.
I'm pretty sure you poo pooed it.
Yeah. 100%. You're just, $1,100, I'm not interested.
Whatever.
But you're still getting a ripping deal for letting him use Rot's Hots for a weekend.
I actually thought the Tiger hole-in-one would be worth more than that. No?
Yeah, but it's...
Signed?
It's tough because, like, with golf memorabilia, like, it's tough to have that golf ball displayed somewhere because it's so small.
Yeah.
You know, so I think at that point, now you got to put it in a frame. You got to do all this other stuff with it, too. But $186,000.
Yeah, that's, you know. Well, to Ashton, it's not a lot, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, to people like me and you.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to me and you. All right, let's go ahead and go through this exercise. I asked Jason about it. But who on this team? And the reason why I thought about this was having a conversation around Matt LaFleur. And I look at the Tennessee Titans, who came into Lambeau and beat the Packers by 10. I don't think that their roster is appreciably better than the Packers roster, despite them being 7-3 and the Packers being 4-7. I look up and down that roster. Yeah, the front four is pretty good for Tennessee, but look at what their offense is. And their offense, you know, 27 points was their highest output. So they've struggled the way the Packers have, but that defense has really played well. And this Packers defense was supposed to be better than that Titans defense heading into the season, given the weapons that they had. But I look up and down this 53, and who's better than what you thought they would be in the preseason? Who's played better? Who's been better than what you thought they were? And Jason brought up Aaron Jones, and I would say Aaron Jones is who I thought he was, and he's playing at a very high level. But I don't think Aaron Jones has gone above and beyond what I thought he would do, especially with the lack of weapons that they had. It seemed like he had to be one of their big weapons on offense, and he has certainly done that. But he's done the Aaron Jones thing of 150 yards, 50 yards, you know, where he just can't put together back-to-back great weeks.
He just can't carry the load. That's the problem. You know,
yeah.
Like I said, he'll show up one game and then take two off, which is fine for that position. You're not going to pay him $20 million a year. But I don't think you can, in this offense, go into a season having a running back being the guy. You know, the number one goal of this offseason, Aaron Rodgers. You have to get him back. Because based upon what Jason said,
I don't know if that's actually a goal. I have no idea.
Should it be the goal? What's the goal?
When do you need to know also?
When Before do you need to know?
March again?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Jason say they're going to have to work some things, fiddle around, but they won't be able to get the number one receiver? They'll just be able to get better than a Sammy Watkins, but I
will say this. I firmly believe that the salary cap, they can push enough. I have no idea, but I think about what they offered Devontae last year, and if that was a serious offer, that if they wanted to, they could find a way to pay a top-tier receiver. I don't know what that looks like, but if they would have found a way to pay Devontae, and if they want to trade for one of those guys, I think they find a way to figure it out. And if you take a look at their list of free agent wide receivers, it's not impressive this year. The only pass catcher that has any interest to me whatsoever that's going to be a free agent is Mike Gesicki, who's the tight end for the Miami Dolphins.
He's nice.
If their big offseason move is a friggin' tight end.
What do you do with Tanyan? Because he's up. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Then let me change this. How do you rank the biggest needs on offense, though?
It's still a number one receiver.
But again, So if we think they still need receiver help, but then they go and get Mike Gesicki, awesome. That's great. And it'll look great. And then what? And you still don't know who's running.
Trade draft capital and get a top-end receiver.
Yes. And I thought Tonyan would be better, and I don't know why he's not starting by now. But to me, it sounds as if he plateaued. It's time to move on from Mercedes Lewis and Joshua DeGuara, right? The experiment's over with.
Well, Josiah's going to stick around next year just because he's still under contract, and why not? I mean, he can serve a role as a third, fourth tight end, whatever.
But if you're looking for next year to be the year, I don't think that I think it's 2 years away. You know, Cobb, is he what Jason say, the sky's not falling?
Kind of feels like it almost
is. It kind of feels like it, though, doesn't it?
Because if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you have to find a way to become appreciably better on offense.
I wanted to ask him, too, are we too hard on the D? Were we blinded by top five Mina Kimes, second-ranked defense in the league, and we're going to wind up, 12, 13, 14, pretty much the same we did last year?
I will say no, because that was clearly part of their plan, was to be that good on defense and have the defense kind of carry while the offense figured it out. That was clearly a part of the plan. Now, while some of us saw through top two defense, we thought that maybe knocking on the door of the top five wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
I'm trying to look at this through Aaron Rodgers' window. You know?
Do we have any ayahuasca? I know we've got a bunch of tea upstairs. Do we have any ayahuasca?
Probably.
All right. Well, we'll brew some up and get it made for Chewy, and then he can see it through the Aaron Rodgers lenses of what this team potentially looks like in 2023. But I'm telling you, we got to talk about this week. And I'm not talking about football, or maybe I am, because Thanksgiving, you think of football. But look, you're going to be busy. You're going to be built, you know, making a lot of food. Maybe you got to go somewhere. You hit Friday, you hit Saturday. You're not going to want to make anything. Make it easy on yourself. You can still have something delicious with Screamin' Sicilian I'm Stuffed. It's a stuffed crust pizza. It is new from our friends at Palermo's. Great artisan crust that you're used to with Screamin' Sicilian. Only it has 2.5 feet of cheese stuffed in the crust. Yeah, that's right. 2.5 feet of cheese
stuffed into
the crust of Screamin' Sicilian I'm Stuffed. You can get in supreme pepperoni, sausage, cheese, sausage and pepperoni, excuse me, with just so many great flavors. And again, it makes it easy on you. You can have a great tasting pizza. It's sitting right there in the freezer. You don't have to worry about going anywhere, ordering delivery, going picking anything up. No, you're not going to want to go anywhere on Friday or Saturday. Just order in. Stay in with Screamin' Sicilian I'm Stuffed stuffed crust pizza. It's from Palermo's. They know what they're doing. They've been doing this for over 55 years. Palermo's, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So I'm probably on the plus side. I eat pretty healthy. Although I do love a nice hot dog.
Yeah, so hot dog, burgers.
Leave hot dogs alone, University of Michigan, crying out loud.
Worry about football.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thank you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
At least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, working for a living.
We spend a lot of time talking about food on this show.
Really?
You have been complaining.
I'll always complain.
For about 3 years.
Just in general, you just complain.
About how you can't make what you want for Thanksgiving. Dude, you are a grown-ass adult. Make whatever you want for Thanksgiving.
Because very few people like turkey. Turkey's just like, we're sheep. We're like, oh, what are you having, turkey? Oh, I guess I'll have it. What are you going to? Well, if you're having turkey, I'll have turkey. Why can't, like, my meal for Thursday would be lobster, steamers, chowder.
Ooh.
New York cheesecake with strawberries on top.
Beautiful. Do that.
You do cherries instead?
No. Ugh, cherries are fine. Gross.
You're gross.
I know. I think most people know.
we're
sheep. We're like, oh, you have mashed potatoes? Oh, that sounds something new. I'll have mashed potatoes with corn, green bean casserole. Come on.
But a lot of those have become tradition for people.
Screw tradition.
So why don't you do this? Why don't you make lobster and
we know why,
the chowder?
We know why.
Why don't you do this? You just had a non-traditional Friendsgiving where it was all Italian.
And it was wonderful. Because I'd get yelled at. If I just made it for myself, would that be wrong?
Wouldn't it be right?
Would it be wrong, though?
I don't think it would be.
It's kind of rude.
If you don't like turkey and everybody else wants to have turkey and you make yourself lobster, I don't see anything wrong with this.
You know what? It's one day of the year. Too damn bad. Just deal with it.
Wow. That sounded kind of aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, Ashton, like, you've detoted me and you've made Ashton like this aggressive
person. My guess
person.
Is you don't like seafood.
I've never had enough seafood. I've had lobster once in my life.
Like, what would be your go-to?
My go-to what?
You're getting the chair tomorrow. You're getting the chair.
What did I do?
Yeah, he just killed you. So,
what do you want?
Me and Pele dead.
What do you want? Your final meal. Don't tell me you're having turkey with green bean casserole.
No, of course not. That's not my final meal.
What are you having?
I'm getting. Ooh, that's a great question. You know what? I'll make it simple. I'm going to go to Southside Chicago, going to Riccobenny's, get a breaded steak sandwich. That's what I want.
You?
It's a great question.
Why am I getting
a chair? Probably some sort of brisket. Brisket, mac and cheese, just something real heavy. Just give me all the carbs, something real heavy. Because it doesn't matter. I don't got to work it off.
Comfort food? Straight comfort food.
What about you? This would be an interesting question for you because you're the my body is a temple guy. And, you know, you eat your or you have your smoothie for lunch and you're making sure you're measuring
seafood,
everything out.
That there's very little fat in that meal that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the chowder's got some in the New York cheesecake, but Thanksgiving should be rebranded to have what you want. Have your favorite meal.
I think you can do that. But for some people, Thanksgiving is their favorite meal.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Again, because there are certain things. My mother makes dumplings that she only makes for Thanksgiving. And I look forward to those damn things every single year.
What's in them?
Like, I don't know. It's just like it's a ball that's a carb.
Is it like gnocchi?
You okay over there?
Gnocchi's awesome. You know,
yeah, more or less.
Awesome?
It's like a potato based, yeah.
Yeah, that's gnocchi.
Yeah, but it's like a bigger gnocchi with a little bit of stuffing inside.
Will there be leftovers?
Or a little gravy. Yeah, I can bring some in for you.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. I bet she's a better cook than Ashton.
Probably.
See, okay, so he hasn't gotten that confident where he's going to try to take out my mom in cooking skills.
Yeah, he's dying. He's dying tomorrow, so it really doesn't
what
matter.
What did I do?
R.I.P. to Ashton. Tomorrow's his last day on the earth.
I had a run.
I don't know if it was good or bad, but it's definitely one thing's for sure. It was a run. Still so many things to come in hour two. We're going to continue to discuss who's been underperforming on the Green Bay Packers. Ashton has to give his World Cup date. Spoiler alert, it's not going to be fun. And we have power rankings. All hour two. It starts in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.